This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Well, there you go. A first for Bent Notes. We have rock and roll on Joy 94.9 in Bent Notes, the middle of a two-hour jazz program. That was Spiderbait with a piece called Buy Me a Pony, because our guest on Bent Notes tonight is from a band described as Australian rock and roll royalty. The band began their life in Finlay, New South Wales, and the band is called Spiderbait. It is my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio their drummer, Cram. Welcome, Cram.
Thanks so much, man. It's great to be here. Cheers.
You have the honour of being the very first rock and roll muso on Bent Notes.
Oh, that's fantastic. What an honour. Great. Hopefully it won't be the last. How many rock and rollers are massive jazz fans.
Well,
that's really cool.
If we have rock and rollers doing what you're doing up at Wangaratta, then we could get many, many of them onto the program. But before we get there, you were performing this afternoon with Spiderbait at Melbourne's Yes Fest rally and concert for marriage equality.
Yes, that's right. Had a fantastic day. I flew down for Byron Bay, where I live, especially to do the show. They asked us to do it, and we were really, it was our pleasure to do it. Just really, you know, really believe in the yes votes and just marriage equality and equality for all people who you know, care about each other. It seems pretty, it's a bit of a no-brainer to me. So it was, we had a great day, and the gig was really fun. Shit.
Pleased to hear it, and I think the weather was pretty right for the day too.
Yeah, it worked out okay. I mean, it's such a joyous community to play to. I mean, by the end, we're like, hey, we should do this every year. Make it into a proper rock festival, you know.
Well, there's an opportunity. We just need to get a producer onto it, I reckon.
Thank you.
Now, Cram, what's the brief potted history of Spiderbait as an Australian rock and roll band?
Well, essentially, we're three small town kids. We come from Southern Riverina in New South Wales, a town called Finlay, which is probably more famous for its footballers like Shane Crawford and Tom Hawkins and various others. And I played a lot of footy when I was a kid. And we all sort of started playing. We've been together for about 25 years now. We started playing in the Melbourne punk scene many years ago. And for some reason, we were lucky enough to have a lot of success. And the song we played tonight, Buy Me a Pony, was the first Australian song ever to win the Triple J's Hottest 100. So we that was a pretty big thing for us. And we've had, since that time, we've had Black Betty was a massive number one hit for us, and we still play a lot of big festivals and do a lot of shows. And I don't know, lucky enough to be a band that still has a very large following, and you know, we still love doing it. And it's a, you know, it's been a fortunate life so far. So we really like being able to express ourselves and play music.
And it's great to hear that the band is still going after this amount of time, particularly here in Australia, which is a relatively small market compared to overseas bands who have the world to go with.
Yeah, I see. I mean, I'm inspired very much by people like Paul Kelly, who I know. I know Paul, and he's a true gentleman, and Nick Cave, and there's a lot of great, and Midnight Oil, who we're about to play with in Adelaide and Perth this weekend. We're coming up to play with them, and just bands that have had lots, really long careers. And I think in musical terms, in the music business, a lot of bands don't get the luxury, I guess, to really evolve over a long period of time. And it's great to be able to have that journey, but it's also really great for the work you're trying to create. If you to have this long career, it really becomes a life. And you, I guess in some ways you feel like somehow culturally significant. I know we just last week were invited to be a part of the National Performing Arts Archive exhibition at the Arts Centre in Melbourne, and we've decided to put a lot of our archival stuff into the archive for future generations, very much like Nick Cave and Paul Kelly and even people like Barry Humphries and Kylie Minogue have done. So we're sort of going through a lot of our old memorabilia, and when you, and archivists and people who look at this stuff as sort of culturally significant, it takes it on a new meaning, and you start to feel pretty proud of what you've done. But at the time, you're just sort of kicking around and just trying to do the best you can. So we feel really good about what we've managed to do over the years we've been together.
And so you should, for any group, irrespective of genre, to be around for that long. There's something that you've obviously been doing right. What is it? Have you been able to pick what it is yet?
I think one of the fundamental aspects is the relationship between the three of us. And any band that's been the same lineup for forever. I just saw a documentary on Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and I know they, a few members had changed over the years, but just that sense of this comradeship amongst friends, and there's a certain way that comes out in your creativity, this sense of communication that is quite hard to quantify. And we just sort of know each other so well. And also, I think one of the reasons also is that I think our live show has always been pretty exciting, and we've got a lot of fans of seeing us live. And we just try to really spread a positive message, I guess, and just be very, very in the moment. And, I mean, somehow I think people, we still keep getting new fans. Like, some of our fans are, like, 10 years old, and some of them are over 60. So we did a festival in Queensland a couple of weeks ago, and it was really young crowd, and then you play somewhere else and it's much older. So I think that's also a factor, that there's no one particular age group that's into our stuff. It's a real mixed bag.
You're just doing the right thing for the right group at the right time and attracting that wide range. That's great to hear. And I can understand, from seeing groups that have not played together, there's a little bit of not reluctance, but it doesn't quite gel. But then when you go and see a group that really has, as you say, has been working together for some time, they almost know what the others are going to do without actually thinking about it.
I totally think that's true, but I also think that for me personally as a performer, I just lose myself completely in the performance. And it occurred to me many years ago that audiences just love coming along the ride with you. The crazier you become in the song, they've come along for the ride. So I really found that quite a euphoric experience physically and emotionally. But it also made for my performance in our shows just reached a whole new level. And I could play, I remember we did Splendor in the Grass maybe 2 years ago, you're playing in front of, like, you know, 15,000-20,000 people. Just the energy that you can create within just your band and an audience like that, it's very symbiotic. It's just real to and fro and very much a relationship. And you can really create, I think, something that's quite artistically unprecedented, just that energy that only goes for an hour, but that hour can last for years and years for the audience and for us too.
It really is amazing how you can look back on things from years gone by and remember something about a gig that you went to, which to all intents and purposes is nothing important in one sense, but it's so important from the artistic perspective, getting into someone's mind.
Well, I think that's definitely the case for that gig, and we had done that festivals many times over the years, and a lot of other big festivals like the Big Day Out, obviously, many times, and Homebake, and done Meredith Festival, which we love very much, and Falls Festival, a lot of big, with this, I think that's one of the reasons, to answer one of your earlier questions, that we have survived so long, as we've renowned as a very, very big festival band. We can play in front of thousands of people and, you know, rock the house, I guess. But I think there's also the sense of the personalities. I see bands very much like, it's almost like a troupe in a production or a film, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the best musicians, but you've got the right cast. It really rings true to people, or there's some sort of effect on people, and as much about their personality as the music they play. And that's one of the things I love about pop music and also composition and just music in general, is it's about the human beings who create it as well as the creation itself.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Our guest on Bent Notes tonight is drummer from Spiderbait, Cram. Now, Cram, rock and roll at a jazz and blues festival, because Spiderbait is one of the feature artists at this year's Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues. At first glance, it doesn't seem to make sense. But what's actually happening?
Defies logic, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
About it. That's what I like about it. Look, we've got Adam Simmons to thank us. He's curated the festival and is a very old friend of ours. And he played with an old friend of mine, Sean Baxter, who I went to uni with in Melbourne many years ago, and a fantastic jazz drummer and someone I used to really have a lot of great fun with. We were both in the punk scene together, and Adam and us have known each other for a long time, and he basically asked, would you be interested in doing this show with like a 40-piece horn section? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. It'd be really fantastic. So we sort of altered some of our songs, we're doing some of them instrumentally and some of them not, and I think there's going to be just, it's basically a little bit of a he's going to conduct the horns and just create this really amazing musical experience for everyone. And this is like, you know, it's like what we did today for the Yes Fest. We love doing things that we just think are awesome things to do. You know, it's much, I don't really care if it's off, if it's not what other bands are doing or whatever. If we think it's something that's either musically or artistically challenging, or it's an idea that we really want to support, or a community that we feel great love for or whatever, we'll go and do it. So, and I think we're really, we like the freedom of, to be able to do that. So we're really looking forward to this show and the whole festival as well. I'm playing the night before as well. So it's going to be really exciting, can't wait.
It will indeed. Now, you're performing with what they're calling themselves the Wangratta Horns of Death. That sounds rather ominous.
Well, it's taken from an old horn section of ours. Years ago, we did a record, live recording at the old Great Britain Hotels in about 1992 or 3 or something. And we got a horn section that called themselves the Horns of Death. And it was Tim O'Dwyer, who I think now runs the music program, I think in a university in Singapore, is a fantastic jazz musician I used to jam with all the time, and an old friend from my uni days. And also Poss, who was a great trombone player, and just old friends who played in that group. And once this horn thing came up, we thought, oh, this has got to be the Horns of Death. And, you know, when I told James about it too, he was like, oh, that's a great name for a horn section. So, you know, it's got the tick of approval from Mr. Morrison too, so that's really cool.
That's excellent. Now, do you have to change your music much to be able to work with the Horns of Death?
Not really. I think it's really important when you're doing a project that's a little bit out of your comfort zone that you don't try and bite off more than you can chew, if I use that term. It's like you've just got to keep, make sure that it's, especially when if you're not entirely sure how it's going to pan out and you're letting certain things become improvised and you're really open to that, you just got to make sure that it's a fairly easy transition. So, you know, we're not really doing any really extreme changes to the songs. I think there's just little certain dynamic changes and certain things where we'll drop the vocals out and just allow the machination of the event to do that. We're really good improvisers. We do that live all the time, and sometimes there's magic created that you could never rehearse or compose, and that's sort of the angle we're going for. I think it's going to be really exciting.
It sounds really exciting before the event. I'm sure it will be absolutely amazing on the day itself. Now, yeah. Cram, you did actually head out into the solo area and release a solo album some years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, it's called Mixtape. I've been meaning to do another one, and I haven't got around to it. Since then, I've done a film score and done a whole bunch of other things all the time. But yeah, it's a record I'm really proud of, and it got a lot of success from that album, so I was very happy with that.
What drove you to get out and do something solo?
I think I'm just a very prolific composer, very prolific writer and multi-instrumentalist. I think it's just often with a band, it can be a bit of a bottleneck, and you try and filter everything through the group. And sometimes there's certain things, I think in retrospect, you think actually that was probably more suited to a collaboration or a solo project, or even give to another act or another artist, which I do that all the time now too. And so I think the solo was about trying to just write a whole bunch of songs that just weren't necessarily for the band, and just to test myself to see what I could do. And so I played all the instruments myself and wrote all the songs and did all the singing, you know, it's just made all the noise. And I'm really proud of it. It really changed me and opened up a lot of doors. I think it really improved me as an artist.
What was the genre of that particular album, Cram?
Oh, it's mixtape, so it's everything. There's like the lead single was pretty much a glam rock song. There's really heavy punk rock. There's some really sort of funk stuff. There's some, I'm very much into Harry Nilsson, so there's very Harry Nilsson sort of country 70s sort of vibe, breakbeats, stuff that was very harmonically and compositional. Like, I'm really into every type of music you can possibly imagine, and I love making records that are as extreme in genre as possible.
Moving on from your solo album, Mixtape, I love the name, and obviously that gives you an exact understanding about what it's all about. It is a mixtape.
Yeah, true.
You've taken that solo side of things into another aspect of the Wangratta Festival. Not that you're performing solo, but you're performing outside of Spider Bait with two other greats on the Australian music scene, in this case mainly in the jazz side of things, with James Morrison and Paul Grabowski. How did that combination come about?
I think I wanted to create a jazz supergroup, and I've always loved jazz. When I first came down to Melbourne to study, and I basically studied music because of a teacher of mine who was a fantastic jazz piano player named Julie Croft, who now I think she runs one of the music programs in Armidale, or got into pretty high up into the education system in New South Wales. And she's such an inspiration to me. And she very much was just a person who was taking a break from the madness of Sydney and go and teach music in a country town for a few years. And I was very lucky to meet her. And as a result of her tuition and also my playing and really putting a lot of effort into my music, for the HSC, I came first in the state for music, which was a massive, really changed my life. It really gave me such confidence, and especially being a small town kid, competing against all these other musicians all around the state and in, you know, much more expensive and better facilitated schools than Finley High School had. So I really just gave me a shot of confidence. And I really loved jazz from that moment. I just loved the freedom of playing it and just the improvisational nature of it. And for me, jazz is all about possibilities, especially improvisationally. And so, you know, I was doing this TV show with, obviously it was a Sean McCaleb show, and James was on it as well, and we'd known each other. And I'm like, you know, what do you think about this idea? And he's like, oh, that sounds sick, you know. And Paul, I ran into it, another thing, I think playing Melbourne Jazz Festival with a bunch of others. And he was like, yeah, I'm in. So eventually we just sort of got the recording session worked out. And James, actually, I was down having a holiday on the south coast of New South Wales. I'm like, I'll drive up to Sydney and we'll go to your studio. And he's like, no, I'll fly down and pick you up. So he flew his plane down and picked me up from Ruya Airport.
Flying taxi service.
And I'm just like, but it was really cool. I thought I was in some sort of 70s prog French sort of art band right from that moment, because it isn't a typical jazz band. It's very, very different. From the moment we started playing in the studio, it just was apparent there was something very special about this trio, and we were literally like giddy when we went out and had a wine or two or three afterwards. And ever since then, we've always wanted to play together. And once again, Adam asked, would you be considered doing it? And we're all really, really pumped. We had a meeting last week. I went and saw James's show at Bird's Basement, and then I had lunch with Paul, and also he happened to be having lunch with Vince Jones as well, so I got to meet Vince, which was really cool. And yeah, there's something in the air, and I think we can't wait to play live, and we really, really want to play more in the future. I think it's a group that has a lot of possibilities about it.
It certainly sounds enthralling to have the three of you there, three great musicians. Now, you made comment before, I've just realised that you made comment about being a multi-instrumentalist. What else do you play other than the drums?
I play guitar, I play bass, I play keyboard. I'm not very good. I'm very, very much a songwriting musician. So my type of musicianship is very much in the space of, if I'm in the studio and I need to come up with some lines, I'll play them myself, or I'll play guitar or bass or whatever I have to play. And singing-wise, it's the same. It's very compositionally oriented in terms of wanting to create sounds and getting the right vibes. I don't think I'm as good a live guitar player or keyboard player as I am a drummer, of course, but in the studio, I feel pretty comfortable.
Okay, well, that makes some sense now. So the music that you'll be playing with Paul and James, is that composed, notated music, or is it improvisational?
Now, the others, it became apparent too that pretty much straight away we realised this was an improvisational band. It's like, I guess it reminds me of a bit like The Next or like a soundtrack to a film that has never existed. It's just got this nature of the musicians just communicating and creating pieces of work on the spot. The first thing we ever did was just called First Contact. It was one of our best pieces, and it was literally the first time we'd ever sat down and played together, and hence the name. And it's sort of worked out that this is kind of what this group is all about. So it's just about creating, you know, whatever is we feel at the time, and it's going to, I really like that excitement. I'm a big fan, me and Paul in particular, a big fan of Ornette Coleman's Empty Foxhole record, which is pretty, you know, in that vein. And I just love the shape and the possibility, as I keep reiterating, of just great musicians all trying to communicate together and create a mood, and you never quite know what's going to come next. And that's one of my favourite things in life.
That's one of the great things about jazz, I think, that you never do know what's going to come next, although from what you've been saying, that also might fit into your spiderbait times of things when you're creating things on stage.
Yes, indeed. No, I'm very happy to make stuff up as much as possible.
Cram, it's been great to have you on the show tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule.
Cool, man. No worries. Thanks.
The Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues is coming up very shortly here in Victoria. Oh, now, Cram, that's Rex. Rex is our studio pet, and he tells
Hi,
us
Rex.
When it, whenever there's a message that comes in. Oh, there he goes, saying hello back. And we've received a message. Corey, what have we got?
So we've got a text message, and I think it's from South Yarra. Let's go with that. And South Yarra says, love Spiderbait. Yes, love him. Great musicians are able to cross various genres. Very cool.
Thank you so much, South Yarra. That's very nice to receive, Cram.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, South Yarra. You rock. Cheers. And that's what it's all about, challenging yourself, having a great time, and, you know, being open to whatever comes around. I mean, that's why we called it The Others, really, is because it's sort of like the alter ego of each of us in a sense, but I just like the idea of the unknown and embracing that, and that's what this band's all about.
Well, I'm looking forward very much to hearing the Others up in Wangaratta as Spiderbait are performing on the Sunday. I'll read my notes properly, Cram, and then I'll get it right.
That's all right.
So the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues starts on Friday, November 3, runs through to Sunday, November 5. It's always a fantastic weekend of jazz and blues. Spiderbait are performing in the Blues Marquee on Sunday night, November 5. And, Cram, you'll be performing with James Morrison and Paul Grabowski as the Others in the theatre, that's a beautiful theatre up there in Wangaratta, on Saturday, November 4 from 6:30 to 7:30. The entire program, of course, is available at wangarattajazz.com. If you want more information about Cram and your projects, you can check out the Spiderbait website for Spiderbait information, spiderbait.com.au. Do you have your own website for other projects, Cram?
No, I tend to steer clear of the internet, and I like being left alone. I know it's not very good for self-promotion, but I kind of don't like being followed by people.
Well, I think
disrespect to anyone out there who's into it, but yeah, I just like taking a little bit of a step back from that stuff.
It means you can control what goes out and how you get your product out to the market.
I guess so. I just like to chill out and be by myself sometimes, which is hard to do if you're always online, but it's a beautiful thing too. So thanks to everyone out there who does follow us, so that's cool. But yeah, I think can't wait to do this show. Both of these shows will be fantastic. Yeah, hope to. And I think to sign off, I think the ABC is going to record the whole Others show as well, which will be pretty special.
And that means we can listen to ABC Jazz to hear that show over coming time. Yeah, that's fantastic. That'll be great to hear. Cram, thank you again so much. We're going out. We have a piece from The Others. It is, in fact, the piece you mentioned before, First Contact, that Adam Simmons has kindly provided for us. So again, Cram, thank you so much for taking the time to chat tonight, giving us a sense of how both rock and roll and jazz are really simply parts of the musical world.
It's great. Thank you much. Thanks so much for having me tonight. And thanks to everyone who came out today to the Yes Fest. So much love in the air. And what you're about to hear is, I don't think it's ever been played on radio before. This is an unreleased track, but we thought we wanted to give you some idea of how we sound. And this is the very first time we all sat down and played together, and it's called First Contact. We'll be right back.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.